and good night. The time now, 7 o'clock.
Good evening. You're tuned to A Novel Idea right here on KRCB. I'm Suzanne Lang, the regular producer of A Novel Idea. Happy to be here in the studio this evening with Rosemary Manchester and some great guests we have. But what's missing right now is you. We're hoping you'll be part of the conversation this evening by giving us a call and telling us what are your best books of the year. And that's what we'll be talking about this evening. I'm going to give you the number now, but we're going to talk with our guests for a few minutes. 707-584-2020 is the number you can call and engage with us here in the studio. But I'm going to turn over the mic right now to our regular host of A Novel Idea, Ms. Rosemary Manchester. Rosemary?
Thank you, Suzanne. Suzanne, did I actually hear you introduce yourself as the ordinary producer of this show? You are the extraordinary producer. You are the producer beyond compare. You're the one that makes us all sound good. So I'm not going to let you get away with describing yourself as ordinary.
I think I said regular.
Regular.
But thank you, Rosemary. It was not a setup job.
Throw you a bouquet anytime I get a chance. And we also have an extraordinary aggregate of people, group of people in the studio tonight, book lovers all and readers, and we're going to be talking about our own particular take on books. Here in the studio, B.J. Yeager is representing the book groups at the YMCA in Santa Rosa, and she's going to be talking about those book groups, how you can join, how you can show up, and just some hints for successful book groups. Then we have Susan Ryan, who's a shop in Guerneville. The River Reader is one of the most popular of the West County bookstores. And then Michelle Bella is here from Copperfields, and she's the specialist in Copperfields on children's books. So we'll be talking to each of them in turn and then talking to each other.
And talking to you, our listeners, as well.
Yes. And all of you in the radio audience are invited to participate in this conversation. The number is 707-584-2020. So join us and talk about our favorite thing, books. Susan, I'm going to start with you. You have a very interesting things that you've done in the past, including working with the Whole Earth Catalog. I was fascinated with your biography. And tell me, what are they reading in Guerneville?
A wide variety. The slant is always towards the left politically. There's a lot of what's real popular right now is Strength and What Remains by Tracy Kidder.
The new Tracy Kidder. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's quite popular. And the usual, the Guernsey Literary Society and Potato Peel Society.
What a beautiful book.
Yeah. Right. And the other one that I really enjoy is the Hotel at the Corner of Bitter and Sweet. That's been very popular, too.
I just saw that book for the first time. It takes place in Seattle, is that right?
Right, right.
A Japanese-American community?
And a Chinese-American community, and how they both were affected during the war. Two of the main characters were friends, and the Chinese did not like the Japanese, and the Japanese didn't like the Chinese. And it was how the Chinese tried to survive, because everybody just assumed Asians were all Asians, and yes. And I had just read Snow Falling on Cedars before that, which is very similar.
A beautiful book, too. Yeah.
Yes, yes. It's a lovely book, and it was very interesting to find out the different cultures, and it went over several years, kind of lifetimes.
And your shop is at 16355 Main Street in Guerneville.
That's right.
All right. So when you're out in Guerneville, pop into River Reader and tell Susan that you heard her on KRCB. Let's see. Now I think I'll ask B.J. Yeager from the YMCA of Santa Rosa, who participates in the book club there. Would you tell us a little bit about the book club, how people can find out about it? Can anyone come? How does it work?
Well, it's really open to anyone. You don't even have to be a member of the Y, but there's so many members of the Y. We do put out on the bulletin board what we're having for the month. We meet monthly on the third Wednesday of the month, or Thursday now, changed. And our Novels at Noon does have a phone list and an email list. We try to remind people to come, but generally we end up with about five.
Mm-hmm.
And the leaders are Jennifer Hayworth and Aaron Hamor from the Y that work there.
I see.
So they've been very consistent, and they bring treats for noon because we're meeting 12 to 1.
Mm-hmm. So those of you out there who are looking for a book club to join, call the YMCA of Santa Rosa and inquire about the book club, or just turn up on the third Thursday. Would that
right? That works out great.
Do you like to have the people read the book before they come to the book club?
Yes, we generally announce what it's going to be a month ahead.
Yes,
and hope that they read it. If they don't finish, it's okay to come and participate in conversation and company anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But we do try to study a little bit, maybe print out a review or so from the internet, and just enjoy visiting about it.
How do you choose the books?
Generally, we've been working a couple of ways. We do work from the top seller lists in the newspaper, and then we also have favorites that we try to talk the group, and which just has to be a group decision.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to vary them a lot. So the good thing I see about book clubs is because you often will be probably reading something you wouldn't choose yourself. And that's where I've learned a lot. I've got several lists of what we've read, but I want to give time to some of the other talkers,
okay,
too.
All right. Susan or Michelle, are either of you in a book club? I know you both work full time, so you don't have a lot of time for that.
I'm in a book club.
Uh-huh.
I'm in a book club that is part of Swimmers from Ives Pool.
Really?
So it's people that have nothing else in common other than the fact that they swim together.
But that's so amazing because I'm in a book club made up of swimmers from Ives Pool.
And there's only one person that is in both book clubs.
And who's that?
Tui.
Oh, for goodness sake. Oh, that's right. You're in the other one. Yes, our book club from Ives Pool in Sebastopol is called Aquatic Readers, and we've been together for 15 years. And it's wonderful to be long time in a book club, isn't it?
It's nice to be in book clubs because you do read things that you wouldn't ordinarily read, things that other people have picked for you, and it expands your horizons in a way that it's kind of like being in school still.
Yeah, and I visited your club on occasion when Tui has invited me to come. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. Susan, do you have time to be at a book club?
No.
No.
I have three book clubs out of the store, but I
don't. Oh, really? Yes. Tell us about those.
Not much to tell. I inherited them when I bought the store, and it's a lovely group of women, and I get to see them at least once a month. So
do they meet in the store?
No, they don't meet in the store.
No, in each other's homes?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay, but they get their books from you.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. We give book club books at 15% off, and so.
Yes. That's, and do you know how they choose their books?
No.
No, okay.
Sorry.
I think what I've learned in Aquatic Readers is that we choose our own books. You know, we have a January meeting in which everyone proposes a book or a couple of books, and then we choose from that list. But we've discovered over the years that just because a book is a good read doesn't mean that it's going to be good for discussion.
True, mm-hmm. That's true.
And that was a surprise because, you know, it's not enough to say, I love the book. And there were a couple of books that we didn't like much, and we had wonderful discussions because they were provocative.
Yeah, but it's not much fun to read a book that's not very good.
Oh, no, right. No. But I meant in terms of subject matter.
True.
But it's true. There's no point in reading a book that's not well written.
Right.
Absolutely. Bottom line.
Well, I've also had... I didn't mention my second book club, which is my one of the local Red Hat book clubs.
The Red Hats. Tell us about that.
Well, we are the undecided Reds.
And what does that mean now?
It just means we do whatever we want to do. We aren't set on too much of a schedule. We like to be kind of free and easy and be kind of crazy. And the book club part of us, there are generally about 8, 9 of us. Mm-hmm. And we really enjoy other kinds of books than the Y would. Mm-hmm. Because we're all women of a certain age. Mm-hmm. And we still go varied a lot, though. You know, some books would be considered men's books, and some that would be science fiction, some romance. So it runs the whole spectrum.
It's a gamut. Okay. Michelle, you've been at Copperfields for more than 17 years.
Yes, it's a long time.
That's amazing. And you're the buyer for the children's books and also for Great Finds. What's Great Finds?
The Great Finds are the sale books, basically, the bargain books in all the stores. And it's a category that we buy specifically for all the stores. And hopefully everybody knows all about them.
And I love them.
Wonderful.
Good.
So tell us, be sure that we all know about them. They're markdowns.
They're markdown books, but they're not like books that we took off the shelf and then marked them down. Right. We're books we bought specifically to sell at a discounted price.
I see.
And that's why we're calling them Great Finds rather than sale books.
Uh-huh.
Because they're things that we searched out and purchased specially because we like these books and we think that they're particularly wonderful. And
they're
at a discounted price. And they're in all 6 of the new stores.
Yeah. It's the first thing I check when I come in the store.
Good.
To see what the...
Me too.
And they're table full of them. And they're very, very good titles. It's... I'm one of your greatest fans for markdown books, believe me.
And I'm sorry, I'm not in Guerneville as much. So I live close to Copperfield's book in Montgomery Village.
Copperfields is wonderful. I've been going until I had my store. I was faithful for the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is exceptional.
Well, I'm kind of curious about what some of our listeners may be part of book groups themselves or shop at Copperfields or find the books that you're talking about, the remainders, is that what they might be called?
Remainders, we're calling them Great Finds.
Okay, I like that better. Right. But I hope you'll give us a call at 584-2020. That's in the 707 area code. And what's your book club reading? We'd love to hear from you and be part of the conversation, yeah?
You know, I wanted to bring up one thing. Is that you were talking about the Guernsey Potato Peel Literary Society book that's been so popular.
And yes.
A new book that's out for teenagers that we've been pairing in some stores with that book. Like if you, for like, we're calling it a generational kind of thing. If you liked that book, for a teen audience, you might like this book. It's a new book called The Brief History of Montmorency, and it's by Michelle Cooper. And it's great. It's a suspenseful romance with orphaned royalty living on an island. I thought it was the Channel Islands, but it could possibly be off of Spain somewhere. But it feels like it's right then, and it's in the Second World War in the same kind of area and the same kind of time. And it's much more romantic than the Potato Peel Society book. But it's the same kind of thing. If you liked one book, you might like the other, not necessarily for the same audience. Though if you wanted to share a little bit of that for someone who was 15 or 14, that it's a nice kind of way to look at that. I know the Montgomery Village store has a display of a bunch of different books that are written for a younger audience that you might want to pick up, that kind of thing.
And I think we're all thinking at this time of year about gifts. And, of course, I think there's no gift like a book. I mean, one size fits all when it comes to books. And I'm really happy to have your input, Michelle, on what would be appropriate for teenagers. Would you give us the name of the book again?
One is the Brief History of Montmorency. It's Montmarray.
Oh, yes.
I'll put these on the website.
Yes, and on the Copperfields website. And I know that you're all scrambling to write down all the titles that you're going to be hearing for the next hour, but you know also that you can access that on the KRCB website. A couple of days after this broadcast is over, that will be posted on the website. So you can go to krcb.org, go to radio, and then go to Novel Idea, and you'll be able to hear us giving all these titles and all this talk about book clubs and books. Okay.
Now, that's what we're doing right now, of course, because it's December, and that's what I do all the time is new books and
yes.
look at the new stuff coming in and figuring out where it goes and mm-hmm. what's the audience for the new books. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, but it does seem very fleeting sometimes that they come in and they go out and they – and yet there's still the classic books that are there all the time, and they're always there. And
yes.
that's kind of nice, too. And it seems to be the two mainstays, either the books that will be there forever and then the new, brand new. And the because if you don't know what a child has read, if you don't know exactly what's in their library, it's hard to buy them a book.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
something new, at least you
mm-hmm.
know they don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, of course, mm-hmm. lots of classic books that are really great.
And you're the buyer for the store. How do you choose?
Well, we bring in a lot of books,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they don't all get bought. But we can't bring in everything because
uh-huh.
it wouldn't all fit.
No,
so,
I mean, how do you as a buyer choose?
Well, we yeah. get a lot of reader's copies.
I see.
You know, you
okay.
must get reader copies
yes.
of things, too.
Yes, we do.
And
mm-hmm.
we read them, and we mm-hmm. have kids also read for us and give us their opinions of what they like. And we make our friends all read for us before mm-hmm. we buy books so mm-hmm. that we get some kind of feeling for what will work and what won't. And we also go by how the author has sold in the past, if they've done anything before. There's a lot of debut authors in the young adult market right now. A lot. I mean, hundreds, I would say.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is interesting. It's like because of these big books, and especially something like Twilight has come out.
Yes.
I think a lot of people are trying their hand in the market to see if they can make it.
Oh.
And it's a challenge to know if somebody who's never published a book before can possibly write something that's really good.
Yes. What is it with these vampires?
I don't understand it.
I'm hoping Michelle's going to explain it to us.
Oh, I think it's just the, you know.
The romance.
Yeah,
of it.
It's romantic, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have an interesting book for mm-hmm. a teenage on up that is called The Radioactive Boy Scout.
Oh.
It's by Ken Silverstein, and it actually is nonfiction. It reminded me of my oldest son who had a chemistry lab set up in his bedroom. In his high school years, growing up, and it's a good story, and the young man really did produce his own radioactive machinery,
mm-hmm.
and he caused the neighborhood to be pretty radioactive too. It's a very interesting
Give
read.
Give us the name of the book again.
It's called The Radioactive Boy Scout.
Okay.
By Ken Silverstein.
Ken Silverstein. Those of you who are out there listening, you probably have some ideas about books that people are reading. Not doesn't have to be specifically young people at this point, but we'd love to hear from you about some of your favorite books. Do you have books for young people at River Books?
River Reader, yes, we do.
Yeah.
I've expanded that section since I took over the store because I love children's books. One of the publishers that I love is Heyday Books in Berkeley.
Yes, yes.
Nonprofit. Mm-hmm. All their books are about California, written by California authors.
Yes.
And they have a great one for Christmas this year called Mother Goose in California. And Doug Hansen, who's a wonderful illustrator,
yes.
it was his idea, and he did the illustrations. He also illustrated Letters to the Valley, which is a beautiful book by a Japanese farmer. But the Mother Goose in California, it's the backdrop is California landscape, such as Half Dome and the Golden Gate Bridge. And there's animals, there's conquistador cats and sailor squirrels. And it's very charming, and you also get a tour of California at the same time. So I love the book. I love the illustrations. It's very clever.
What age group?
That would be 2 to 5, I think.
The little ones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mother Goose in California.
Right.
Heyday
right.
Books.
Yes.
Okay, that sounds most interesting. Do some of you out there in the radio audience have recommendations on children's books? We've touched on the illustrations for children's books. I think it's many cases it's the illustrations that sell the book.
You're right. Another one of Heyday's books is called Discovering Nature's Alphabet. And it was two photographers who, for 5 years, it started as a game. They photographed things in nature that are the shape of alphabet. So there's trees or rocks. And it's very clever. It took them quite a while to put it together. But it's all visual. And it has children looking at nature as well as learning the shapes of letters.
So, and the name of that book again is?
Discovering Nature's Alphabet.
It seems to me that we have such an interest now in ecology and in nature that would just be a natural.
Especially in the Russian River area. We have a lot of tourists that are interested in that and a lot of local people. The kids are part of a essay contest, the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders every year, that the Friends of the Library puts on.
Yes.
And I've gotten to judge it the last couple of years. And every single paper always addresses how much they love the river, how much they love the trees. And it surprised me that kids that live there are so aware of it. But it's very important to everybody in the community.
It's a very, very hopeful sign.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
I have a good local one.
Oh, good. Tell us.
Interesting book, too. It's called She Flew Bombers. And this is written by a Healdsburger writer by the name of Jean Sloan. Mm-hmm. And its subtitle is From the Factories to the Bases During World War II. And it tells the story about these women that were hired to fly the airplanes to the bases, which left the men open to fight the war and to fly them in the wars. And they really didn't get documented very well at all. So it's a good history book to have also. Mm-hmm. And if you like aviation, you'll love it.
Mm-hmm. Is it, I forgot what I was going to ask you. So that's not particularly for young people, it's a general interest.
No, this is a general interest. Uh-huh. But I think, I know that my grandson loved airplanes from the age of 8. And they have one drawing on the back of the book here where a young boy did draw one of the bombers for them. And it was, his parent was flying.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with older children, it would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. And for adults as well, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, there was Margit Leash's book as well that was on the same subject. And, of course, we had Margit on the show.
Yes, right.
Rosemary, the name of that Margit's books.
I have my memory bank working on it here. I'll see if I can come up with it.
Sorry.
I can't always think of them on demand. Or perhaps someone out in the radio audience there could tell us the
That's
Hollywood.
Right. That's what? Right. Hollywood Buzz. Hollywood Buzz.
That's it.
And we would love to hear from our listeners to add to our collection of great books. And I'll remind you of that number again. It's 707-584-2020. And add your voice to the conversation tonight.
Yes. I brought with me the New York Times book review section from last Sunday. And they do this every year before Christmas. I mean, they know the books sell at Christmas. And they have a list of what they call 100 notable books. You all probably saw it. The first thing that struck me was that it was arranged by the alphabetically by title instead of by author. And at first I thought, well, that doesn't recognize the authors enough. And then I realized that most people would recognize the title, first of all. And in the criteria were books published since December 6th, 2008. Mm-hmm. So they're books published within
you're
the last year.
You're still correct.
I'm sure you all saw the list. Did you have a chance to look at it?
It came into my
whatever.
Store today, so I haven't had a chance.
It just came in, right. And one of the first things that struck me was the number of books, short stories, And you know, or I wasn't used to that. Usually, it's, you know, the great novels of the last, and short stories apparently are becoming quite popular.
I think that's true. Like last year, there were a lot more biographies coming around, and this year, more short stories. Things do change. You know,
I love short stories.
Ah, you're one of them.
And you know, a collection of good short stories, you don't always want to settle into a novel. Mm-hmm. I'm a compulsive reader, so if I get started on a novel, I'm, you know, you won't see me for a while. That's why I love short stories. Suzanne, do we have a caller?
We do have a caller. Allison from Sebastopol, welcome to A Novel Idea.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, I wanted to call, my book group has been meeting for about 20 years. We have a long list of books that were provocative and had great discussions. There was one book that is standing out for me right now. It's by local author Jack Fritcher. And it's called The Geography of Women. And it is sort of a coming-of-age story for a young woman exploring her sexuality. And it was just a wonderfully written story. And what really moved all of us, as a group of all women readers, was that Jack Fritcher could write so convincingly of a woman's point of view. Because we are very tough on male authors writing from the female POV, and it's just, I don't think it's a widely read book, and I would just highly recommend it.
Thank you. Allison, would you say that author's name? Was that Jack Fritcher?
Fritcher, F-R-I-T-S-C-H-E-R, and he is a local author, and the book is The Geography of Women.
Thanks for the call, Allison. And Bella, are you familiar with that book? No.
I haven't read it myself, no.
Well, thank you, Allison. It's great to hear a new title and a new author, and it sounds like you're very enthusiastic about that book. Thank you.
I'm always amazed.
Thank you.
I'm always amazed when someone can write in the other gender's voice well, and you can't even tell.
Do you know who does that? And I saw him speak at Copperfields in Montgomery Village. Is Alexander McCall Smith.
Oh, Alexander McCall
Smith.
Oh, yes.
And the number one ladies' detective agency.
Isn't he amazing?
Because I buy them up as Precious comes on with a new book. Mm-hmm. And the Sunday Philosophy Club is also the new series with Elizabeth Dalhouse in Scotland, which is really interesting.
Yeah, he's a remarkable writer and a lovely person. Barbara Kingsolver's new novel is written in the... I don't know if it's first person, but her protagonist is a young man.
Is a young boy, yeah.
A young boy. I haven't read it yet. No.
I hear it's great, though.
I hear the same thing. It's brand new. So if we haven't read it, it's not because we haven't been paying attention. We just haven't.
There are so many big, huge, fat books that are coming out this fall that it's hard to read them all quickly. You know, there's no reason to read them quickly, right?
Another one that writes well in the women's voice is James Patterson, the Women's Murder Club. And, of course, they produce some of them on PBS as plays.
Uh-huh.
So
this is probably a flaw in my character, but I don't read detective stories. So it's a complete unknown to me. Mm-hmm. So I'll have to let you carry the ball when it comes to questions about mysteries and detective stories.
In case we get call-ins
about those, I'll turn immediately to you because I'm hopeless in that area.
Before we were talking about short stories and local authors.
Yes.
Gerald Haslam, who was a retired Sonoma State professor, Haslam's Valley is wonderful for short stories. Very different. They take place in the Central Valley, 40s, 50s, and 60s. Some are sweet. Some are just shocking.
Yes.
It's a great collection.
Yeah, and he's published by Heyday, isn't he?
He's published by Heyday as well.
Jerry's been a guest on this program several times. When he wrote the book about the woman who had breast cancer, Grace Period,
yes.
Right. And then several of his books. Yeah.
Working Man Blues is another one that's very
good. He's a treasure. His... and you know, that makes me think of the book by Jonah Raskin called Field Days,
right.
which is an absolutely beautiful book, and which speaks to the agricultural a sector of the area in which we live. I mean, it's so local that, and it's besides, it's a beautiful book.
Right.
And I think it would make a lovely gift. I could send it to people who live in far parts of the country so they could eat their heart out that they don't live in Sonoma County. Did we have another caller?
We do, Rosemary. I want to welcome Lilith from Monterio. Hello, Lilith.
Hi.
What's on your mind? You have a book for us?
Yes, I have several books for you. But Yes, I have several books for you. In fact, I was just going to recommend Field Days, the one you were just talking about. That's great. I happened to get to go to that big party that we had for Jonah for the, you know, to celebrate the book festival. So that was super. And then a book that I read recently that I so much enjoyed was Joanna Macy's memoir, Widening Circles. She had an amazing life. I mean, she still does. She's an incredible person and a wonderful woman.
What was it that you liked about that book?
Oh, well, her life story is just so beautiful and convoluted. And, you know, she's just gone from so many different aspects of life. I mean, at one point she worked for the CIA, for instance. Who would have believed that about Joanna Macy? And she was, they lived, her husband was in the Peace Corps, or worked for the Peace Corps. And so they traveled around the world, and she talks about all these different places she lived, Tunisia, West Africa, different places like that, and talks about her love affairs and how much fun she had and all these sorts of things. I mean, it's very open book. And, you know, Joanna Macy has just done so much beautiful work for peace and for the planet. It's incredible.
Well, great.
And then you were also talking about children's books, and I was at River Readers a few weeks ago when Starhawk read her book, her children's book, The Last Wild Witch, which was published by Wee Moon Press, and that was really fine to go and hear Starhawk read that, and I would highly recommend that book for people who are looking for a children's book.
It was a very fun event, too. It was all adults. It was all crowded, and we all sat on the floor and giggled and laughed while she read the book. It was a great evening.
Yeah, it was really terrific. And then one other thing, of course, if you know me, Lilith, I do my Rachel Carson show, and any book by Rachel Carson I highly recommend, but especially The Sea Around Us. If you want to find out all about the sea, the ocean, and the beginnings of this wonderful planet that we live on.
So, there's a very nice children's book about Rachel Carson out right now, too.
Yes, yep. Yes. Yes, there's so many, and there's really great biographies of Rachel Carson, and she's just a terrific person and a great writer.
Well, thanks so much for the call, Lilith, and
sure.
Nice to hear from you. Some of our listeners may remember you did appear on this guest one,
That's
as a guest
right.
on our show one time. So
right.
Nice to hear from you again, Lilith.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And before we go to the break, I think that we have another caller, Eric from Petaluma.
Hi, Eric.
Eric, are you there? I think we may have lost Eric. I think we'll go to the break. Oh, wait, I think he's here now.
Hello.
Hi, Eric. Thank you. Thank you for your patience. Welcome. You're listening in Petaluma, huh?
Yes, I am. We're enjoying the show down here, trying to stay warm.
Are you listening on krcb.org?
Yes, we are.
Well, great. That's a good way to listen to the show. What do you want to tell us about today?
Well, actually, I thought I would put my 2 cents worth in for a couple of children's books. I used to teach elementary school a few years back, and the experience was a great chance for me to get in touch with some of the books I enjoyed so much growing up. And listening to your show reminded me of Robert McCloskey, who was always one of my favorite authors and illustrators. You may remember Make Way for Ducklings and Blueberries for Sal, and who were, I think they both won Caldecott Awards. But my I think one of my favorite all-time children's books was Robert McCloskey's collection of stories about Homer Price. And the great illustrations in that book just would crack me up. On the cover of one of the Homer Price collections, there's Homer sitting next to an old-time donut machine. I don't know if that rings any bells with your listeners out there, but
sure.
I just love that book. And there is a story, of course, in that book about Homer and the donut machine, where in his Uncle Ulysses, I think. All the uncles and family characters were named after Greek heroes. Of course, Homer Price was named after the author of all of them. But there's a great illustration at the end of the story where the donut machine, it's just like the old I Love Lucy show when they're making candy, and the candies just keep coming, and they can't keep up with it. Well, the donut machine is doing the same thing. And there's a great illustration where there's just donuts piled up all over the place.
I remember that Lucy episode. It was a kick.
And actually, Homer Price predates that episode by about 10 or 11 years, I think.
Wow. Maybe they probably got it from
yeah.
him.
Yeah, it had to have inspired Ricky and Lucy, I'm sure.
Well, thanks so much for the call, Eric.
It's my pleasure.
Good talking to you today.
Okay. Bye now.
And we're going to take a short break. I want to remind you that you're listening to A Novel Idea on KRCB with Rosemary Manchester and our guests in studio. And we're going to come back and take more of your calls here on KRCB. Stay tuned. Good evening. You're listening to A Novel Idea. I'm Suzanne Lang, the regular producer of A Novel Idea, here in the studio with Rosemary Manchester and a couple of guests, Michelle Bella of Copperfields Books, Susan Ryan of River Reader in Guerneville, and B.J.
Yeager
from Novels at Noon with the YMCA. And I just want to mention, you were listening to, during the break, some music from Freight Train Boogie 2, a CD that you can pick up at Last Record Store in Santa Rosa. And it's a benefit CD for KRCB, so go pick up a copy and give it as a gift. And we're talking about giving gifts of books as well. We have a caller on the line, and Danielle from Baltimore. And I'm wondering if that is actually Baltimore, Maryland.
It is indeed Baltimore, Maryland.
Well, are you listening via the World Wide Web, yes?
I am. I'm listening online. And I'd like to say hi to Michelle, who I haven't seen since I left for graduate school.
Hi, Danielle.
Hello. Hi. I'm over here studying public health education and health communication, and I found a book in my bookstore here called Oh, the Things You Can Do That Are Good for You, which is one of the sort of spin-offs from the Dr. Seuss books that has the Cat in the Hat. And is about public health, basically, for kids, written in the Dr. Seuss form. So I wanted to share that one. It was a great one that I found, and has things about even sneezing into the elbow so the friends don't get sick. And
who put it out?
It's from Random House. It's the Cat in the Hat Learning Library.
So it's
they have also, you know, Fine Feathered Friends and other ones like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's by Dr. Seuss?
Or
in the style of?
it's in the style of Dr. Seuss. This one came out in 2001, and so it's very popular with like my friends' kids who love Dr. Seuss books, love these ones as well. I've given them "There's No Place Like Space," which talks about our space. So this is the next one that's coming to them, actually. So just wanted to share that.
Oh, that's great! That's great.
Well, thanks so much for the call, Danielle. I'm so glad you found us. Listening on KRCB.org. Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
I have a question I've been wanting to ask my guests in the studio. I'm always interested to know what you're reading. Susan, what are you reading right now?
Oh, no. I can't remember the title.
A book you've recently read?
So Brave, Young, and Handsome.
So Brave, Young, and Handsome.
That's
what a
wonderful
title.
Book. It's by, let me see his name. Where is he? Leif Enger. He wrote Peace Like a River. This is his second book. It's absolutely wonderful. It takes place at the turn of the century. He writes a cowboy novel that's a big success. He gets a contract to write another one, so he quits his job as a post office person. But he knows nothing about cowboys. And he ends up meeting a train robber one day, and they take off, and he learns what the cowboy life is like, but mostly he learns about himself, and it's a wonderful, beautiful book.
What a great plot.
Yeah.
And the name of it is?
So Brave, Young, and Handsome.
So Brave, Young, and Handsome. Wow. I'm going to get my hands on a copy of that.
It's very fun.
BJ? I like The Pig Did It.
I saw that book. I saw that you had it
it's,
in your book.
We just recently read this, and it's by Joseph Caldwell. I really enjoyed it, but I'm Irish-American. And this is a tale of American and contemporary Ireland, expecting the Irish to act like they used to in the 18th century or something. And it's a great, funny romp with goofy Irish roundabout mystery. And it's just very entertaining for me, anyway.
Great.
I got a big kick out of it.
And the name of it again?
It is The Pig Did It.
The Pig Did It. Well,
and it's going to be a trilogy.
Oh.
So you'll have three
so
in the
more.
Series. I happen to like series.
Yes, series are great. I mean, there's the Alexander McCall Smith series. Mm-hmm. I hope they'll run forever.
And Sue Grafton.
Yes, Sue Grafton.
And Janet Ivanovich, if you want really goofy.
I love the Maisie Dobbs series that takes between World War I and World War II in England. And she's a psychologist and a detective.
Very interesting. Yeah. Maisie Dobbs series. Mm-hmm. Okay. Michelle?
Well, I'm always reading a kid book and...
Oh.
And an adult book, because, I mean, I like to read adult books, but I'm usually reading kid books. And I'm often reading the books that are for summer right now. We're buying summer. But I did, because we're kind of in the December, is a little bit of a clear space. So I just finished Beautiful Creatures, which is a 600-page kid book. And it's written by two women whose names escape me at the moment. And it's a boy's point of view. So, and they do it fairly successfully. You would never guess, really, that it's written by two women. And it's set in the South, and it's this gothic Southern novel, and it's very well written, and it's, of course, got overtones of witchery. It's definitely got your supernatural aspects to it. It's the fact that it's so long, I mean, a lot of people just aren't going to devote that much time to a kid book. But it's good. It's good. I liked it. I think kids will definitely read it.
Well, they read Harry Potter, and those
are absolutely. And they've got the time.
Yeah, I always... go ahead.
I was going to say, but my adult book, I just started Flood by Margaret Atwood.
Oh,
I really?
Really
like her science. I actually read anything by Margaret Atwood, but I like her science fiction stuff a lot.
Oh,
I read kids' books and adult books at the same time, too. And the one I just finished was Last Night I Sang to the Monster.
Oh.
And it's by Cinco Puntos Press, very small, wonderful press. And it's about a boy in rehab. He's 18. And it's about how he deals with his life and the people he meets and how it's a beautiful, beautiful book.
Amazing.
If you want to.
I think we have another caller, and then I'll tell my story. Go ahead.
Frederic from Sebastopol. Welcome to A Novel Idea.
Hi. So I wanted to talk a bit about children's books, but I don't think it's a specific book. When my son was really little and very active... We started a Christmas tradition with him, and on Christmas Eve, he would receive a really beautiful hardcover edition of a children's book, along with a pair of pajamas and bubble bath, and as it calmed him down and put him to bed. And as he got older, of course, we dropped the bubble bath and dropped the pajamas, and he's 18, but he still receives a beautiful hardcover book every Christmas Eve. And so I just wanted to make the case for children's classics. And often, even if kids have them on their shelf, you know, they're cheap paperback editions. And it's always wonderful to get a beautifully illustrated hardcover edition of, you know, Wind in the Willows.
Sounds wonderful.
You know, and there's an incredibly illustrated Treasure Island this year by, I have the name here somewhere, John Lawrence. He does all these woodcuts, and there's this fabulous woodcut edition of Treasure Island, if you like Treasure Island, which is a fairly accessible book for kids. It's really pretty.
Yeah.
That's a nice idea for
beautiful
Christmas
idea.
Eve.
I love that.
Well, thanks, Frederick, making a case for books as gifts and good books for good gifts.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. You can't go wrong with
thank
a book.
Thank you.
The book I've just finished is brand new. It's Greg Mortensen's book, Stones into Schools, Promoting Peace with Books, Not Bombs, in Afghanistan and Pakistan. You know, his book, Three Cups of Tea, is never less the bestseller list since he wrote it. I think it's still number three on the bestseller list.
Right.
And it's such a marvelous book. And Copperfields is sponsoring a lecture by Greg Mortensen.
Are you coming on?
That's what I was going to say. Oh,
I was one of the fortunate people who got myself down there to Copperfields and got tickets.
I know, it's sold out.
I knew they were going to sell out.
You know what's available, though, for kids?
What?
Is still there's going to be a 5 to 6 p.m. free event for kids.
Oh, talk about this, would you?
It's only for schools. I mean, if the schools can sign up still, I think.
I see.
At Sonoma Academy, they can sign up as a class and come to a 5 to 6 p.m. event because you know, that costs money. And it's not quite the same thing, and it's not long, but it's free, and it's accessible. So.
Yes.
Because everyone wants to include kids in everything, right?
And he has that tremendous program for kids.
Yes.
And the book for kids. And
right, he's got books for kids, the whole thing, yeah.
Save Your Pennies and Build a School in Pakistan.
Right. If you're interested in your school coming or you want your teacher to take your school to the event on Saturday, I imagine space is very limited, but you can call Stephanie at 823-8991 extension 215.
Would you give that number again, because somebody may out there may.
Right. It's always on the website too, I'm sure.
Yes.
But 823-8991 extension 215.
And that's the Greg Mortensen the talk for school kids.
Yeah, just be for kids.
Well,
yeah.
That's good to know about.
Yeah.
And the book is so important. And I read it straight through. Fortunately, I was traveling, so it wasn't, you know, I could read straight through. I was just going somewhere on a bus and read the whole book. But I just couldn't put it down. It's a marvelous book, and it gives one hope. And you read astonishing things that are going on in the world that are heartrending, heartwarming is such a cliche, but that's how I felt when I was sitting there reading this book and crying, because it was so marvelous what he's accomplished in building these schools, particularly for the girls. Also,
yes.
There's a big part of the book is about the earthquake in Afghanistan and the destruction that came about at that time. And the rebuilding of those schools, some great stories. It's Stones into Schools. The subtitle is Promoting Peace with Books, Not Bombs, in Afghanistan and Pakistan by Greg Mortensen. Get your hands on a copy of this book, folks.
Thank you.
I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, good.
And while I have the floor, let me tell you about another one that I just love, which is Half of a Yellow Sun by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, Half of a Yellow Sun. It's a marvelous book about life in Nigeria and Biafra during the Biafran War about a generation ago. Some of you who are older will remember the war in Biafra. One of my particular prejudices is that women write beautifully about war because they have a personal involvement in it. They're not soldiers carrying guns. They're fleeing for their lives and trying to protect their children and wondering where they're all going to sleep that night. And to me, that is the human side of the story. Not what happens on the battlefield, but what happens to the survivors and the stories of those who don't survive. She writes beautifully. She's getting a lot of recognition. Do you have the book in your I know Copperfield's Sebastopol does, because that's where I bought it. Are you carrying the book?
No, but I will now.
Oh, I hope you will. First there was a whole surge of wonderful women who had come to America from India, and Arundhati Roy, right. and I can't think of the other names now, but a series of wonderful books about India or people from India living in America. Then there were the books from China. An Chi Minh is my favorite among the Chinese-American novelists. And I kept thinking, okay, Africa, where's the book? I want to see the book from the woman in Africa who write. And then as soon as I heard about Half of a Yellow Sun, I thought, maybe that's it. My daughter-in-law, who lives in Africa, recommended Half of a Yellow Sun. And so I got a copy of it, and I thought, that's it. That's the book I've been waiting for. So I can't recommend it to you highly enough. It's a very personal... it's fiction, but it's a very personal story of a family caught up in the war in Biafra. Half of a Yellow Sun. Her last name is Adichie. Hmm. But if you go into the bookstore and ask for it by title, Half of a Yellow Sun, I'm sure they'll find it for you. Another caller?
Well, we have a repeat caller, it seems. Somebody who didn't finish their thought, perhaps, decided they wanted to call back. Lilith, are you there?
Yeah, here I am.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
Well, last night I went to this wonderful poetry reading, group reading in Healdsburg, which they have every month up there that Cynthia puts on at the senior center. And and lots of local poets had their books out, and I have been listening to the program. I haven't heard anybody talking about poetry, and so, of course, that's a really good gift, especially to give a local poet's book. And
I've been waiting to jump in about Mike Tuggle's new poetry
book. Oh, great. Yeah, and Vilma Ginsberg has one out, and there's anthologies and all sorts of things. Oh, the Redwood Writers Guild, they have great anthologies. One can get. So.
Well, thanks for that reminder, Lilith and Susan.
Mike Tuggle is the Sonoma County Poet Laureate. Mm-hmm. He has a poetry group at the store once a month. It's usually the third Saturday of the month. And everybody's invited. Everybody gets to read or listen, whatever you want to do. But he has a new book called The Singing Itself. And I don't know if there's time, but the first poem is amazing.
Oh, you must read it.
It's called The Dying Soprano. Every morning, every afternoon, she would sit at her piano, her bald head wrapped in a scarf, and play and sing as if she were dying into the music. Her captive audience, I was painting her house a deep earth-colored brown, and knew that somehow it was for me she sung for. Morning, it was Wagner. Afternoon, she'd sing passages from Madame Butterfly, over and over, her strong voice gathering itself without breaking into the final dirge of love and fear at the coming of abandonment. There at the terrible edge where all true love songs ache, where lover is taken from lover, and all things pass away except the song, it is the singing itself that delivers us.
Oh, Susan, that's beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful? He's a beautiful man, too.
And he does a poetry
circle, third Saturday of the month. The next one's going to be on the 19th.
What time?
11 o'clock. Everybody's welcome. It can be a short story or a poem. And if you just want to listen, that's welcome, too.
And you can meet Mike Tuggle.
And you can meet Mike Tuggle, exactly.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yes.
I'm sorry I didn't bring in the last two books I bought at Catherine Hastings'
Oh, yes.
poetry group. because they were so wonderful, and now I'm having a senior block also.
I know the feeling.
I did want to mention one book since it's Christmas.
Yes.
It's not a Christmas per se, but Anne Lamont is a Bay Area author.
Yes.
And she writes about faith in God.
Yes.
And a wonderful book is called Traveling Mercies.
Traveling Mercies, yes.
It's and also mm-hmm. Grace Eventually.
Yes. Yes, she's They've a favorite.
Little short stories in it, and they're wonderful.
Yes, she's a great favorite of the Sonoma County audience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've just started reading Rebecca Solnit, S-O-L-N-I-T. You're all nodding your heads. You discovered her much earlier than I did. I don't know why I didn't know about this marvelous San Francisco writer, but I'm just working my way through her books. And she's, first of all, I got them from the library, and then I realized I must own these books, particularly the essays, because they're books you want to read again, and you think, now what did she say, and what was that? And so I need a copy of the book for my very own when these go back to the library. But I'm just really, really taken with Rebecca Solnit. Yes.
And I wanted to mention another local author who just spoke at Copperfields last night in Sebastopol, and she's come out with the Raymond Carver, A Writer's Life, mm-hmm. Carol Sklenica, and she lives out in Duncan Mills, and this is really the first major biography of Raymond Carver, so I wanted to recommend that to our readers as well.
Well, the time has flown by. I wish we had another hour because we could go on and on. And it's been such a pleasure to have you in the studio as my guest. You've been listening to A Novel Idea. This is Rosemary Manchester, your host. Suzanne Lang is here, who produces the show. And my guests tonight were Susan Ryan of River Reader Bookstore in Guerneville, and B.J. Yeager, who's associated with the book groups at the YMCA in Santa Rosa, and Michelle Bella of Copperfields, who's a specialist in children's books. And thank you all for sharing your knowledge and your enthusiasm and your interest and in making recommendations and in telling us the books that you're reading, because there's just nothing like... Well, the only thing better than sitting around talking about books is reading the books themselves. I mean, what a pleasure it gives us all.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
And we'll be back next month with another novel idea for you. And remember, there's no such thing as too many books.